Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during October. It's definitely not summertime anymore, so before you head out, make sure you're dressed warmly, and grab a blanket, folding chair, or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean way back, then find a spot that's far from bright lights, with a clear view all around the horizon. Before twilight fades, I want you to note where the sun has set. That's west, more or less. Above the horizon, by about twice the width of your fist, is the unmistakably bright star Arcturus. But if you look very low down and a couple of fists to the left of the sunset point, you should spot the faint glimmer of Mars. Don't confuse it with reddish Antares, a little farther to the left early in the month, and below Mars later on. Now, ordinarily, when celestial objects get this close to the evening's western horizon, they sink from view in just a week or two. That's the fate of Antares, for example. But not so with Mars, which has been hanging around over there since August. The red planet is on the far side of the sun from us, and just a few months from perihelion, so it's sliding eastward rather quickly compared to the stars around it, which themselves are dropping like flies into the western abyss. But Mars should continue to set about 2 hours after the Sun for the rest of the year. That's it as far as bright planets visible in early evening, but be a little patient and you can spot Jupiter on the opposite side of the sky, leaping up over the eastern horizon at about 10 p.m. as October opens. With each passing week, the King of Planets will appear a little higher in the sky. By Halloween, it'll be rising by about 8 p.m. Of course, Jupiter also climbs higher as the evening goes by. So if you don't see it right away, give it another hour or two, then check again. It's really dazzling right now, more than a dozen times brighter than the reddish star to its right. That, by the way, is Aldebaran, marking the angry eye of Taurus the bull. And Jupiter will be dominating our evening starscape throughout the coming winter, or the coming summer if you live down under. You won't need to wait at all to see the great square of Pegasus, which is rearing up in the east as it gets dark. The square, which appears to be tipped up on one corner, represents the body of the mythical horse which, right now, is on its back in the sky. It seems the gods never got around to finishing Pegasus. It's got a neck and head extending off to the right, and its legs are sticking up toward overhead. But this horse has no behind. It ends at the square's left corner, a star called Alpheirats. Now make a generous quarter turn to your left, so that you're facing northwest. See anything familiar over there? It's our old friend the Big Dipper. We're used to seeing it higher in the sky, but here it's not far above the horizon. Actually, in this pose, it's easy to see how the Dipper is just part of the larger star pattern tracing out the Great Bear, Ursa Major. The bear's pointy nose, marked by the star Mosquito, is about two fists to the left of the Dipper's bowl. Its legs dangle underneath, and the farther north you are, the more of them you'll see. Its tail is marked by the arc of three stars in the Dipper's handle. I've never really understood why this celestial beast has a long tail, because real bears have stubby ones after all. And yet, many widely separated cultures have recognized this general pattern of stars as a bear. Some historians think its origin might date back by more than 10,000 years. Here's something else to think about. As the starry sky wheels around through the changing seasons, old constellations sink into the sunset and new ones, like Pegasus, rise in the east. But for star patterns like the Big Dipper, in the far northern part of the sky, this seasonal shift becomes a slow counterclockwise rotation around Polaris, the north star. Now, Polaris isn't the brightest star in the sky, but it's easy to spot. Find the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through them and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium bright star pretty much all by itself. And what might that be? It's Polaris. Now use that clenched hand to measure three fists to the upper right of Polaris. You'll see a group of five stars crudely shaped like a three. Or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who's a queen in Greek mythology. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of the North Star. So when one is high up, the other is low down. The Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in fall and winter. Now look to the upper left of Cassiopeia and above Polaris for a wide pattern of five stars looking a little like an upside-down house perched on the point of its roof. This is the constellation Cepheus, who's the husband of Cassiopeia and the mythical king of Ethiopia. About the same distance to the lower right of Cassiopeia are the stars of Andromeda, their daughter. New Moon falls on October 15th and the full Hunter's Moon on the 29th. So early in the month, the evening skies will be free of its light. By the time the moon reaches first quarter, on the evening of the 21st, keep your eyes peeled for the Orionid meteor shower, a spray of interplanetary dust particles spawned by Halley's Comet. Ordinarily, you might see 10 to 15 meteors per hour, but these won't become apparent until after Orion rises, around midnight. The good news is by then the moon will have set. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll explain why Queen Cassiopeia is not a happy camper. Until then, I wish you clear skies.